God's way to change the world. Since the dawn of history, it has been the desire of every alchemist to turn scrap metals like lead and copper into gold. Try as they would, they were not able to achieve what they wanted. The only person in the world who knew how to turn scrap metals into gold was a carpenter from Galilee. Jesus of Nazareth knew how to work with wood, but he preferred to use a different material. He loved to search for weak and unimpressive people on the scrap heap of life, and to transform the cheap metal of their lives into purest gold. Look into the New Testament, and you will be able to see for yourself how the Lord Jesus turned an impulsive fisherman, Peter, a prostitute named Mary, a traitor named Matthew, and a skeptic named Thomas, into useful people who were then used mightily by God to expand his kingdom on earth. These people were of the meanest metal in society, and yet, after 3 years with the Lord Jesus, they became the golden boys and girls who led a movement that went on to change the world. The Apostle Paul was another excellent example of how God turned scrap metal into gold. He was a Pharisee and a sworn enemy of the church. He did all he could to suffocate the Christian movement at her infancy stage. Paul, known as Saul before he was converted, was such an unlikely candidate for God's mercy. But God chose to save him and prevented him from further sinning against him. Having tasted the goodness of God, and out of gratitude, he wrote to remind Timothy and all of us who are Christians today, never, never to forget who we were before, sinners under the judgment of God, and of what Christ did to give us this precious gift of eternal life. Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am chief or am the worst. From what we understand of Paul, he was truly a born-again believer. And this reminds all of us that we need to be like Paul, to be ever grateful to God for saving us out of our sins. Paul is often most conscious of his or her sinfulness and seek God daily to help him live out a life that testified to the goodness and mercy of God. And this, we too must do as believers saved by grace. My friends, if you want God to turn the scrap metal of your life into gold, Paul is the best person to show us the way. Would you now turn with me your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? I suggest we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 1 to 10 together. 1 Thessalonians 1 beginning with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your elect of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Who are the ones mentioned in this morning's scripture passage, do you think, know how scrap metals can be turned into gold? Of course, it has to be the Apostle Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy. These three have their life turned around to become servants of the living God after they were thoroughly converted, saved by the grace of God through faith in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were grateful to the Lord for not judging them according to their sins. In response to the love of God, they offered their lives to serve Him by going from place to place to share with others the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Together, they formed a formidable team when they arrived at Thessalonica, which was the capital city of the Roman province of Macedonia. It boasted of a population of over 200,000 people, which make it one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. By the time Paul and Silas were chased out of the city 3 weeks later, they had made enough converts to plant a thriving church. By the time Timothy left a few weeks after that, the church was strong enough to stand on her own 2 feet, even though Paul, Silas, and Timothy were not with them. If anybody thinks or might have this thought that they know how to take people off the pagan scrap heap and turn them into gold, it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. How is it the Thessalonian Christians were able to stand and shine for Jesus, even though they were just a few weeks old in faith? It is because they have been given the proper understanding of what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Exactly, what is the gospel? It is not about you can have a purpose and meaning to your life, or that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. All those things are true, and they are all important, but they do not, listen carefully, they do not get to the heart of the gospel. The gospel, my brethren, addresses the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. And the problem is simply this: God is holy and He is just, and I am not. And at the end of my life, I have to stand before this holy God and give an account to Him and be judged accordingly by Him. And I will be judged either on the basis of my own righteousness or lack of it, or the righteousness of another. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came down from heaven. He lived a life of perfect righteousness, of perfect obedience to God, not for His own well-being, but for His people, those who would put their faith and trust in Him as their personal Savior and Lord. Jesus has done for me what I could not do for myself. I have sinned against God, and the wages of my sin is death, eternal separation from God in hell, Romans 6:23a. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Jesus came into this world not only to fulfill the demands of the holy law of God, which I have broken. He also offered Himself as a perfect sacrifice on the cross at Calvary to satisfy the justice and the righteousness of God. the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son on the cross is so valuable that God raised him from the dead, so that Christ died for us and was raised for our justification. The message of the gospel is who Jesus is and what he did. We are justified or declared right before God, not by our works, not by our efforts, not by our deeds, but by faith, and by faith alone. The only way you and I can receive the benefits of Jesus' life and death is by putting our trust in him and in him alone. When we humbly confess our sins and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are declared just by God. We are adopted into his family. We are forgiven of our sins, and we are on our way to spend eternity with God in heaven. Today, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? In verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read of Paul thanking God for the Thessalonian Christians. He habitually and regularly thanked God for them. He thanked God for their work of faith, labor of love, and patience or steadfastness of hope. Verse 3. These three virtues, faith, hope, and love, appear together frequently in the New Testament as the definite marks of the Christian. Work of faith should be understood as the work produced by faith reflecting the biblical patterns that good works follow authentic faith as its fruit. Let us understand this correctly. Our faith and works do not go together as means of our salvation. Rather, we lay hold of Christ by faith alone, and we are then empowered by him to do good works which demonstrate tangibly the authenticity of our faith. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew 5:16 to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The phrase labor of love refers to the sacrificial works that are being motivated by love for fellow Christians. In this aspect, I want to thank God for some of you who have gone the extra mile to see that the needs, the physical and spiritual needs of God's people are adequately met. Thank you for your labor of love. The phrase patient or steadfastness of hope speaks of the Thessalonians' steadfast waiting for Jesus. They had been undergoing tremendous persecution as a result of their valiant stand for Christ. But no cracks had appeared in their sure, dogged endurance. Can this be said of you and me? If God were to put us to some kind of test, will we be able to still cling on to the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Christians in Thessalonica heard the gospel preached to them, they paid close attention to the way the three servants of God lived among them. Verses 5 to 6. They were moved by their sincerity and love for them, that the Thessalonian Christians determined to live that way themselves. And as they learned to care for one another, the Lord Jesus sustained and gave them the grace to stand firm in their faith, even though they have to pay a price for it. The Thessalonian Christians, young as they were in faith, became an example to others. Verses 7 to 9. Look into your Bible and I'll read out to you. Ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Why was the church at Thessalonica an example to others? First, the church was located in one of the most important cities of the Roman Empire. Being the provisional capital of Macedonia, Thessalonica lay near the conjunction of several imperial crossroads and was an important seaport. News of how the Christians there live naturally spread to churches in other parts of the empire. Other believers could not miss the example of what it means to be steadfast in their faith in Jesus. Can this be said of us too in Galilee? Second, and more important, the Thessalonian church was a positive example. And this is because the Christians in Thessalonica imitated the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ by receiving the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. verse 6. The Thessalonians believe the apostolic message, even though they knew it would bring suffering. And they continued to suffer for the kingdom of God well after their conversion. They were examples not merely because they suffered, but because they suffered with joy of the Holy Spirit. They did not rejoice, they did not reject the vocation of sufferings for the sake of the kingdom of God, to which all of us who believe in Jesus are called to. And we must not forget that. The Thessalonian Christians rejoice that they could suffer for the sake of the Lord. They were not sadists who enjoy suffering for suffering's sake. Instead, they had the Spirit wrought joy in suffering that makes believers willing to endure the hardest opposition, if that is what it means to be faithful to the Savior. My brethren, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not above our Master. So we cannot think that we are above suffering for the sake of God's kingdom. Jesus and his apostles suffered to advance the kingdom of God. And we must be willing to do the same. As we trust the Lord, we will even find ourselves rejoicing in our suffering for the gospel. As the Holy Spirit works joy and endurance in the hearts of his people to make them persevere through the pain, looking to the coming glory of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. What are some important lessons we can learn this morning from 1 Thessalonians 1:1-10? First, people can only come to a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we faithfully share with them the gospel. The gospel is not primarily about how Jesus can help you with your marriage, or help you raise your children, or help you succeed in business, or help you with your emotional problems. Although he can do all of those things and more. Rather, the gospel is the message that we are sinners who deserve God's eternal judgment. But Jesus rescued all who believe him from the wrath of God to come. And this is stated clearly to us in verse 10 of our text. For us to see our loved ones, colleagues, and friends come to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, it is essential that we present the content of the gospel clearly to them. in words that they can understand. Second, for people to be genuinely saved or converted, the word of the gospel must be proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The effective power of the gospel comes through the works of the Holy Spirit. New birth in Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. Souls coming to faith in Christ does not, and I want to say again, does not depend on slick salesmanship, techniques, or powerful rhetoric or convincing logic on the part of the evangelist. Although we should be wise and persuasive when we present the gospel. But behind it all, we must pray and pray for the Holy Spirit to work powerfully to open blind eyes to the truth of the gospel of the glory of Christ, given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. True conversion is not just getting a person to make a decision or pray the sinner's prayer, but rather the Holy Spirit must impart new life. Third, people will come to Christ when our lives back up what we say to them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were men of integrity. They were not preaching to get praise from people, to get rich from the gospel. They lived openly before God to please Him. John Calvin humorously commented on how preachers need to be obedient to what they urge on the congregation. He said, and I quote him, "It would be better for him to break his neck going up into the pulpit if he does not take the pain to be the first to follow God." What Calvin said applies to you and me. If we desire that people believe what we say to them of the gospel, they must see that happening in our lives. Let us walk our talk. What happened when people, when a person is saved by the Lord? It will result in changed life. That person will have the desire to want to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Paul said, "Ye become followers or imitators of us and of the Lord." Also, a person who is saved will welcome the word of God joyfully, even in the face of persecution. Verse 6, he becomes example to others. Verse 7, and he spread the gospel to others locally and beyond, wherever the Lord leads him or her to. Can Jesus take the basis matter of a person's life and turn it into gold? He is willing, provided on our part we faithfully share the content of the gospel to the one we witness to in the power of the Holy Spirit. When people see our lives back up what we share with them, they might be moved to want to have it, to want to know more of who this Jesus is. And when the person is genuinely saved, he or she will in turn seek out others for Jesus. And that's how God used the basis metal to change them into gold. This is God's way to change the world. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your precious word that help us understand clearly the importance of preaching the gospel correctly to the one we share. And we know that gospel is the power of God to save those who believe. We pray that even for ourselves who have been graciously saved by you, that you will give us this desire to want to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, so that others in seeing us will know that we are believers, and through this they might be moved by you to want to ask more about you from us, so that the gospel can be given to them, and that by your mercy they will come to the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, for everyone in Galilee Church, young and old, that you will continue to help us to love you even as you first love us, and give us this desire to want to shine for you till the Lord Jesus Christ return for us.